One warrior put it to me like this. He said, most of the world out there is sheep. They're kind, gentle creatures that can only hurt one another by accident. He says, then there are wolves. The wolves will feed on the sheep. They're the sociopaths. They're the criminals. He says, and then there are sheepdogs. The sheep are a little leery of the sheepdog. He wanders around, checks the perimeter every night, barks at the moon. He would never turn his teeth on the flock, but he yearns for a righteous battle. And when the wolf comes around, nothing else will do, and the entire flock is sitting there trying to hide behind one lonely sheepdog as he faces down the wolves. We're talking about a creature who is capable of confronting and dealing with combat and sustaining themselves across the long haul. The goal becomes to be a sheepdog, to be a warrior, to be the one that is ready to respond to the threats when the time arises.
Good morning and welcome to Blue Justice. I am your host, Amanda, today and brought to you by Lesma, as always. We have guests on the line. It's our Fun Day Friday, so I've already unmuted you guys. Good morning, David Shalis. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning. Ready?
Listen to you, Ken. You sound all excited. Good morning.
I'm tired. I write. Listen to Blog Talk Radio, listen to Blue Justice, and it's Fun Friday, and it's April the 1st.
Yes, so and let me tell you a story. I've got to kick this off really quick, Ken. I just got off the phone. I got a phone call from my mom this morning, and I didn't answer. I was on the phone. She calls me all the time, so I told her I'd get back with her, and she said, call me. It's important. I just called her back, and she's telling me about this horrific car accident she got in this morning, which happens often. My mother is not the best driver in the world. So I absolutely fell for it. I'm like, are you at the hospital? Or are you at home? What's going on? You know, and she says, April Fool's. I was like, oh, that's not funny. That's so not funny. So you're not, no one's going to get one on me again. I'm just saying, like, not cool, Mom, and I'm not falling for another one. I haven't fallen for an April Fool's in forever, and it just, anyway. Yeah, so good morning, everybody, and Tammy's here now, too. So good morning, Tammy.
Good morning.
And David, you didn't get a chance to say good morning.
Good morning.
I think Ken's had a lot of coffee this morning. He's all like, good morning.
I'm already over the pot already. I'm on my second pot.
Wow. Coffee morning. Like a champ there.
Oh, I'm ready to take it intravenously.
It's not a bad idea. Really not. I got a mascot. You guys take over for a second.
All right. What was the deal? Everybody was supposed to have some stories this week, right?
Oh, yeah. I just took some stuff off of Police One this morning. Mm-hmm. Police One Media. Not like the off-maligned World Week News. That was a joke.
Yeah.
World Weekly News is the one where we have, you know, people are captured by aliens and found a four-headed llama in the Andes and stuff like that. But, yeah, this is straight off the Police One News. I read it to my wife, and she giggled. So, and she doesn't get cop stuff, so.
It's funny you mention aliens. This morning I'm listening to the radio taking my boys to school, and here I'm listening to the local radio station in Tulsa, and they've got people calling in right and left saying they see something flying over Tulsa and they can't identify it.
And?
Was it April Fool's joke?
You know what? You know, when it comes from some of these people in the Tulsa area, anything's possible. I think they're still shell shocked from the tornado from the other day, so I think they're seeing a lot of things.
You need to watch out for flying debris still.
Yeah.
Water over there?
Pardon me?
You think it's maybe the water there, David?
Oh, God, anything's possible. I think they might have been drinking out of the Arkansas River.
Well, that could be, yeah.
Yes.
You sure
yes.
have a lot of linear guys... pipes over there, boys.
Flying objects. Flying objects.
Yes.
That's awesome. You know, you would think that Tulsa would come up with something better, at least, if they're going to do that. Come on, guys. I can think of something better than unidentified flying objects.
That's juvie.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
You could come up with, yeah, get creative here.
Well, we're talking about Tulsa now.
David?
We're
there a couple times.
You know, if they're not circling the wagons or something, they're kind of lost.
Oh, this ain't even, no, we're not talking about wagons in Oklahoma. Kenise is not around, and I'm not doing this with another one either. You guys
so you
are
go
not
wagon
there.
Like, just stand in the middle and form a line. Don't hide behind your wagon.
David? I hate your guts right now. This is okay, so the wagon jokes in Oklahoma are very frequent because
oh,
I accidentally
okay. I can understand. I said I could understand that. Yes, all right.
Oh, yeah. So David, Mr. Yankee's never been to Oklahoma, so he thinks that we still get around in covered wagons and run out
funny,
barefoot.
Though. I mean in Pittsburgh and in New York and all that. You know, we come up to you and say, I'm your Uber driver. In Oklahoma, they say, we are your covered wagon driver.
No. So Oklahoma is up to date with technology. Thank you. We do have cars.
We have
porn
off.
Next thing you tell me, you got indoor. I said the next thing you're going to say, you have indoor toilets.
Oh, they were just moved.
Imagine that. helping.
We were told by the city we had to give up our favorite tree and go indoors.
Lurm shot.
Oh my God, you guys. Oh my God. So nobody's on my side this morning. That's all right. I got it. Tammy's an implant in Oklahoma too. So
Oklahoma's a great. It's going to go for. When is your primary there? Has it already occurred?
We already had it, March 1st.
Okay. Did Trump walk away with it?
No, Ted Cruz did.
Did he? Okay.
Yep, and I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why, because actually I have a lot of political friends in the grassroots circles, and grassroots is where you actually get your stuff done, you know. We have my grassroots friends, you know, and you know how we are about our politics. I'm a grassroots person. You know how we are. We will defend what we defend to the death. I mean, it's just that is what it is. And my friends are the same way. And I went to a meeting to meet, I mean, we're talking some big names in Oklahoma. We're talking the activists, the ones that are known for what they do. And I approached them, and we're really close friends, so I can just talk to them about anything. And I approached him a few months ago and was talking about this, and she was like, the one was like, I support Ted Cruz. And I'm like, well, I support Donald Trump. So, you know, you want to tell me? I said, my reason for not supporting Ted Cruz back then especially was just I met him one time and he gave me the creeps really bad. He was really weird. And so I just felt like it was a anyone who gives me that kind of vibe is some kind of character flaw. So I couldn't put my finger on it, but something was wrong. Like, I just didn't like him. And so I asked her, I said, why do you support him and not Trump or vice versa, whatever? And she wouldn't answer me. She wouldn't argue it with me. She said, this year I'm letting everybody support who they please. This is who I support. And she wouldn't even give me reasons that she supported Ted Cruz over Donald Trump. And that, to me, was very telling. If you can't get your grassroots people to strongly defend their candidate, over another, then there's no reason not to continue supporting the one that I support. You know, she couldn't even argue with me as to why I should support her guy, basically, is what I'm getting at. And she's very vocal. Again, she supports Ted Cruz, and in that circle, that's who your active voters are. And these are the people that will go knock on doors. These are the people that will make phone calls. And they do have a lot of influence with their voice. And that's why Ted Cruz won Oklahoma. Our grassroots people just support Ted Cruz, even though they don't know why. They support Ted Cruz.
Well, I agree with you. There's a lot of those folks, and especially on the Sanders-Clinton side, when you ask them, you know, and I've seen, you know, the reporters, mostly on Fox, you know, they say, well, can you describe why you are against Trump? Well, he's a misogynistic. Boy, I'm sure tired of all these istics things, you know, that the left invents to, so they can throw some big words around: misogynistic, xenophobic, homophobe, Islamophobe, you know, all the phobes and the istics. And
yep.
They're like, it's like talking to a stump. Jesus Christ. And that one little twit up in Janesville, Wisconsin, I guess it was, or someplace up there, and all these people like to do is holler, you know, get right into your personal space and scream. And I saw a hand come out of the crowd and give her a squirt of cap spray, you know, and
beautiful.
She goes off. And
that was beautiful. I mean,
wasn't that just like a ballet, man? The hand just popped out there and gave her a face full of that stuff. We should be doing that more. God dang, these people are just going nutso. But
she never even saw it coming. I mean, she thought she was going to stand there, get away with it until she got a snootful.
Yeah, that was great, wasn't it, David?
Oh, I love it. I laugh so hard. Every time I rewatch it, all I do is laugh.
Yeah, I saw that. I bet I backed it up 5 or 6 times. I about fall out of my chair, you know, laughing. Little twitch. First, she said she was 15, and I think I blogged about her, you know, comment on, so probably maybe on a Lesma board. But I said, 15, why isn't a little twit in school, you know? And
yeah, what is she doing at a political rally anyway at 15? She's not even old enough to vote.
Yeah, and it turns out she was 19, though.
So
she was fibbing about that. And then she was claiming that somebody groped her and, you know, just your normal left-wing crapola.
I mean, I saw comments in various threads that they kept saying, well, this young man, I was like, oh, my. She did look kind of manly.
Ooh, yeah, it, silly. And they're the ones that create all the havoc, and they say, you know, and then you watch the Communist News Network and the other one, MSNBC, and they'll say, Trump's actions and words cause all of this upheaval and this violence and stuff. They're really not that violent. They're just loud and obnoxious for the most part. But, you know, it's the other side that is causing all the upheaval. And Trump's right, too. You know, he says, look, we got a full, you'll have 20, 30,000 people in a stadium or an auditorium or something like that. And he'll say, here, the cameras won't even turn around. They'll turn around and show the protester being escorted out, which is his right to do. He paid for the thing, so it's a private function. And if he wants to throw somebody out, or, you know, his security people, they're certainly within their rights and within the scope and the framework of the law to do that. And then the cameras will turn, and they'll show one spectator, you know, and they're flipping them off and making with the mouth and all this jazz. And the place is just packed. And, you know, probably getting off the trail here. I mean, probably don't know if we need to be talking about this much about political stuff, but boy, all of my friends and everybody knowing law enforcement, you know, they're for Trump. It, you know, there's always one oddball in the group, but man, that's a movement, don't you, David? I mean, it's more than just a political party and stuff. It's a movement across the country. Everybody's just so sick and tired of all this double speak and,
oh, yeah.
You know, the current thing and the attorney generals.
I can appreciate what Trump says, you know, because he speaks right. He just says what everybody else is thinking. That's basically what it is, and he's not afraid to speak his mind. And then you get all these teenagers that are trying to create some upheaval. But, you know, it's really funny when you talk about these teenagers. You know, at the age of 18 years of age, you know, Spartans, you know, their 18-year-olds were already mostly highly skilled soldiers of their time, ready to kill and die to defend their homes. And that's at 18 years of age. And, you know, and then you go back to the Aztecs at 18 years of age were skilled in attacking and abducting their enemies so that their still beating hearts would be ripped from their chests. And then we've got our 18-year-olds now in America with our adolescents. They're highly skilled in the art of whining and crying for safe zones on campuses because their words hurt.
Oh, hey, yeah, good point. Did you see at Emory that Institute of, you know, exceptional whining and crying? Somebody goes on campus and writes Trump 2016 and Trump, you know, just in chalk. And about 40 or 50 of these little, you know, butthurt students go wimping up to the president or chancellor, whoever the hell they have there, and said, we want to save space. We're afraid. We're scared of these words. Boy, you know, their parents must be real proud of these little pansy-ass pussies.
That's exactly what they are. And you know what? I don't... Their parents need to have a swift kick in their ass to boot for raising such a person like that, because obviously their values are really warped.
Ooh, amen to that one. Amen to that. And once again, all of this whole damn thing started when politicians got involved in Ferguson, Missouri. If they would let the police handle it, and you and I have been involved in riot situations before. You go in, you make a couple of real quick arrests, and they'll go away. Just like Sheriff Joe down in outside of Phoenix there where Trump was speaking. You know, all these butt wipes, they park their cars on the highway leading to wherever they were having this rally. And Sheriff Joe, guys would go out there. You got to leave. You're blocking traffic. We're not going anywhere. You know, and they'd tie themselves to their car and all this corny crap. Sheriff Joe says, okay. They back up the tow trucks, yank a couple of those things, cut the people out off of the, you know, the rope or break, you know, get out the master key and cut the chain and lock these knuckleheads up for, you know, impeding the flow of traffic or, you know, peace disturbance, you know, ignorant.
Yeah,
public.
and then the one woman that did get arrested, running her mouth, you want to talk about poetic justice. Not only did she get arrested, but she was turned over to immigration.
hey, good one. And, you know, as soon as they started that, started making arrests and started towing cars, everybody went home. They you know, hey, these guys aren't playing. But our pansy ass in Missouri, there was a governor who is still a governor, and his name is Jay Nixon. And in the book that I write, Michael Bond Jr. Didn't Have to Die, he comes in and he takes over and says, I'll show these people that I'm an open, you know, open-minded idiot. And when he talks, he goes, and in the book I call him Governor, cometh now our Governor J. Nixon. And in making arrests, you know, we got to, you know, rub their butts and all that stuff. And I've talked to a lot of county police commanders, and they're saying, Ken, it just went totally out of control when they got there. So
I see down there in Ferguson, they've got themselves a new police chief now from Miami.
Yeah, they do. They got a guy from Miami. I wish him well.
Honestly, I wouldn't want his job right now. Oh my God, those are some shoes that I would not want to try and fill.
The Justice Department just ram this consent decree down their throat, and they've got a they've got to vote on new taxes and stuff, taxes that will not be supplied by the businesses and stuff that were burned out. And there were some big name stuff. There was like a O'Reilly's auto parts store. There was I think a Hobby Lobby, Walgreens, and a CVS, and you know. These dumbasses, they're just cutting their throats. But I don't know. We got to live with it. And that's what gives rise to all this crap today. You can't go on. I certainly can't go on my Facebook page, which I probably spend too damn much time in front of. And you'll see the Chicago cops. They're just, you know, F you and just all this vile crap. I don't think I would have put up with that. But, boy, these poor bastards today, man, you got to put up with a lot of crap. So,
yeah, it's, you know, we were talking about that the other day. It's just, you know, the job has changed so much that, you know, I'm glad, honestly, that I'm retired from it, to be honest with you. Do I miss the job? Yeah, to a degree. But, you know what, having to face the bullshit that's going on today, I'm glad I'm done. I'll be honest with you, and I really, for everybody involved that still does it. I mean, I got to tip my hat to them because they're putting up with more bullshit than I would.
They are. That's true. But that's your commanders and the command staff sets the policy. And there was a discussion group on Police One the other day about do you think. Lack of proactive policing will make the crime rate will rise. Well, come on, you know, if you're not doing stop and frisks and you see two guys hanging out in an alley at 2 o'clock in the morning, you know what I do now? Drive by. You know what I do? What you and I would do back in the day? Pull down that alley. Hey, what are you doing? And I think that's, you know, that's legit. But, boy, these guys, they don't want to do anything. And you know what, David, if I was a cop today, I'd smile and wave.
Yeah.
Answer your calls, smile and wave. You know, write a ticket maybe or go write a few parking tickets or something.
Well,
you're not going to get in.
That's a lot of the rank and file now anymore. I mean, they're going down the roads now, and they're just they basically carry a body bag in the trunk and say, okay, we'll just do a sponge and bucket cleanup, write a report, we're done. See ya.
Yeah, here homicide.
Yeah, it's all yours. We're out of here.
Speaking of policy, might I share with you from Police One today at 3:01 a.m. a new policy in Berkeley, Berkeley Bay, California, Berkeley Bay, California. New close your eyes and count to 10 use of force policy, winning raves at California Police Department. The department says that new policy has already prevented countless instances of use of force by police. Da-da-da-da-da-da, Berkeley Bay, California. Early Friday morning, Officer Jay Softley was faced with an approaching subject holding a 12-inch knife and screaming maniacally that the voices in his head were telling to kill someone. Instead of drawing his firearm and stopping the deadly threat, as would be reasonable under circumstances established in Graham versus Connor, that's the Supreme Court decision, Softley remembered the new training he had received only 1 week before and did something completely different. He closed his eyes and counted to 10. Confused, the despondent and deranged subject turned and walked away, according to the surveillance video taken from a nearby convenience store. 3 hours later and 2 miles away, the subject attempted a home invasion robbery and was shot and killed by the homeowner. Bay Police Chief Sonny Dawns said he came up with a new count-to-ten policy after attending a career day at his son's kindergarten and watching a 20-year-old teacher Clara
Sorry
Hugs.
Sorry to people laugh.
Yeah, that's okay. These are funny. Clara Hugs, conflict resolution technique, working on her class of six-year-olds. I figured if timeouts can work with obnoxious little kids, why can't they work on the streets? Typical thinking.
When you see a perp, you're going to say, I think you need a hug.
Yeah. The counter-coach function as teaching moment for criminals who will now only have the opportunity to stop and really reflect on what they're doing before anything goes further. Oh, God. I know this isn't fun, but it's so freaking true. Dawn's also highlights the new policy is expected to yield financial benefits for the department. The reality is we don't have to shoot most subjects. Terrified citizens will eventually do this for us. In this case, tremendous financial storm off the department and our city. We can't get sued for not shooting someone. I anticipate that this year alone we will save many millions in court fees. And here is a truly humorous portion of it. The local ACLU and other advocacy groups have lauded the new policy as groundbreaking and important. We are overjoyed that the police are finally coming to their senses and realizing that it is their impatience, not the actions of murderers, rapists, and other violent criminals, that has caused this much needless hurt, said Evan Bledhart, a local representative of the ACLU. And they're
actually contradicting themselves there, because they're saying that, you know, they don't want to see gun violence, you know, with the police, but yet they want to see gun violence with your average ordinary Joe. But they're also the ones that fight against the NRA, saying we want to strip people of their firearms, period. So
it's just silliness. These are all April Fool's posts and police want. Got time for a couple more?
Sure.
Okay, well, here's a good one we all get a chuckle out of. Also from Police One today at 3:01 a.m. New motor cop refusal to remove Ray-Bans getting uncomfortable. An excited rookie motorcycle officer is making everyone a little uneasy. Chillville, California. Somebody must have thought about this pretty good. An excited rookie motorcycle officer is making everyone just a little uneasy with his reluctance to remove his aviator sunglasses at any point during the day. Officer Pete Mitchell, who names Eric Estrada as his law enforcement role model, hasn't removed his Ray-Ban Gold aviator sunglasses since officially becoming a motorcycle officer 3.5 weeks ago. And while Mitchell cited the need to maintain tactical coolness in his decision to keep his sunglasses on during all facets of daily life, some of his colleagues and loved ones aren't so convinced. Quote, I understand the excitement. You get your bike, you get your first bike, you're feeling like a badass, and those aviator shades really seal the deal, said Officer Bob Tight, a 27-year-old veteran of the force. But some of these guys are starting to wonder why he won't take them off. He wears them around the station during night shifts, in the shower. That part really creeped some guys. We love chips, but this is out of control. His wife, Charlene Mitchell, is similarly concerned by his unwillingness to set down the aviator shades. He's always been an intense and committed guy, which is why I love him and why he's such a good cop, she said. But I don't need to see a reflection of myself in his mirrored lenses while we put the motorcycle in the garage, if you know what I mean. It's just creepy. Mitchell knows his fashion choices aren't endearing him to everyone, but he is unwilling to yield to the criticism. Did Ponch ever have to apologize for being too cool? Mitchell asked rhetorically. If he did, I must have been on an episode I haven't seen in syndication. Either way, the glasses stay on.
Now that's a serious love for your job and your glasses.
Man, yeah, sticking the old motorcycle in the garage here, huh?
The probably take them off, and he's probably cross-eyed.
Okay. I have a couple more here from our newsroom. Exhausted citizens demand police department dial back annoying nonstop community policing. Many in the community have taken issue with what they call an over-enthusiastic police force. Pleasantville, Arizona. Yeah, let's see here. Tensions are rising between a police department and the citizens in a small western Arizona town over a community policing initiative that began 8 months ago. Officers have maintained a constant presence in shopping centers, neighborhoods, parks, and other high-traffic areas since the program's launch, and many in the community have taken issue what they call over-enthusiastic police force. These cops are occupying our streets, chasing people down in parking lots and offering to help them with groceries, rolling around in a tank, giving out ice cream. Enough is enough, Pleasantville resident John Costa said. They're too nice. Let me go about my business. The divide hit fever pitch at a Tuesday city council meeting that was packed to capacity. Protesters outside the venue were chanting, "Cops kill with kindness," and demanding the department condemning the department with placards like, "End police geniality." Inside the city council meeting, nearly 30 citizens took to the podium to discuss their concerns. "This guy, officer, has been bringing my newspaper and some Dunkin' Donuts to my door every morning before I go to work. Even though sugar has been shown to have negative health effects, it's militant and oppressive," resident Bob McCaffrey said. "The cops need to be stopped." The city's police chief, Milton Kryak, sat quietly and appeared pensive throughout the nearly three-hour meeting before addressing the room after the final resident aired his grievance. "We are conducting a thorough investigation and ask for your patience," Kryak said, appearing both puzzled and resigned. According to the Office of Community Policing Services, CAPS, a staggering 400,523 good deeds at the hands of cops occurred last year, and the number shows no sign of slowing down. Pleasantville is only one of among of a hundred of cities across the nation grappling with what some have called out-of-control do-gooders. The presidential task force created to investigate the systematic issue is expected to issue their findings early next month. A public protest outside of the Pleasantville police station is scheduled for Saturday. Oh, God. I don't think I've ever appreciated April Fool's Day until today. I was checking Police One for some stuff to come up with some humorous stuff, and they laid it out for me.
I'd say so.
And here's another one. Anybody got anything you want to throw out there before we...
Go ahead. Go with it. You're on a roll.
Okay. SWAT team debates how to address colleagues' BO after suffocating an MRAP one too many times. Officer Mark Schmeiserdad has allegedly overheard several members of the SWAT team debating how to tell him about his oppressive body odor. Also today at 3:01 a.m. at Police One News. South Amicable, Massachusetts. An officer has been placed on administrative leave following a confrontation with one of his colleagues over oppressive body odor. No further details were released, but according to an officer who spoke on conditions of anonymity, Officer Mark Schammerdaz of the South Amicable Police Department has allegedly overheard several members of the department's SWAT team debating how to tell him that his oppressive body odor has made the team's armored vehicle an unbearable place to be. He's a good guy and a fine cop, but the fact of the matter is, the guy stinks to high heaven. I don't even have words to describe it. We met in secret and started formulating an intervention plan. I guess he caught wind of it, and that's how the argument in locker room started. Tensions in the department escalated over the past month as the SWAT team left increasingly obvious hints that Schmeisser Dance needed to get his problem under control.
Oh, jeez.
What do you do, man? We left a stick of Axe in his patrol bag. I offered him my new cologne to try out, and we started spraying the MRAP with air freshener. It was time to get real. I'm not at liberty to speak about the fight, Chief Carla Fisher said, but I can tell you that the locker room smells like something died there a month ago, and we have many citizens complain that one of our officers has offended them with his fragrance. I cannot reveal the officer's name. You can draw your own conclusions. Ted Rodello, whose service station serves as a motor pool maintenance unit for the department, was not limited in his language. Once you've experienced what a squad car smells like after a full shift with Schmeisser Dance at the wheel, you are a changed person, Rodello said. You know how they say you can't unsee things? I imagine that with smell. I had to buy special ventilation fans and a Gulf War surplus gas mask just to plug in the diagnostic computer. I cannot imagine what it's like for 6 or 7 SWAT cops to be stuffed in a tactical vehicle with that dude. I shudder even to think about it. Efforts to reach Schmeisser Dance for comment were unsuccessful.
Sounds to me like he could be used as a tactical weapon instead of putting a flashbang through the window, just toss him through.
Jesus.
I'd come out running. I'd put my gun down. I just can't take the smell.
Just throw him in the house, you know. You got a subject in there. Just throw this guy in the house. You know, who says cops don't have a sense of humor? Oh, Jesus.
Well, we've got a sense of humor, but by some accounts, with some people, they'd say we're kind of warped. But, you know, that's what gets us through our day.
It is. It's a warped sense of humor. But you have to maintain your sense of humor. You go bats. You know. Oh, geez. And I know you guys have heard about this, but I posted into my blog, Cops Perspective, the other day. I'll just go ahead and read it. It says, attention, meth and heroin users, your dope may be infected.
Yeah.
That's right. Do you remember that one?
Yeah, there was a young lady in Texas that actually fell for that shit.
Yeah, here, listen up, David. He says, that's right. The alert members of the Granite Shoals, Texas Police Department noticed that heroin and meth they were confiscating was contaminated with the Ebola virus. They alerted all heroin and meth abusers to stop any officer or to come to the station to have the illegal substance screened with a special device. It's called a dope test kit. The device would detect the presence of the deadly disease. Police pleaded with drug abusers to make sure that they have the substance checked before use. It's a public service goes along with the pledge to serve and protect. When I saw this, I had a chuckle and mentally complimented the officer who came up with the idea. I certainly didn't think anyone, and I mean anyone, would fall for this.
Once I mean, again, I was really amazed at the, you know, that young lady's level of stupidity. I mean, I was just beside myself. I was like, wow, somebody actually fell for that shit. And they
How
actually...
about it?
Here, would you please check my meth before I get
here,
really...
Here's my... Could you check it for the Ebola virus? Sure.
I got a little test kit.
And did you see her mugshot? She was smiling. The ignorant.
She was probably under the influence when she brought it in.
Something. Let's see.
I really wonder how many people not only not brought it in, because we know the one lady brought it in, but how many people actually trashed their drugs and was like, I can't do this. Let's, you know, seriously, I wonder how much dope went in the toilet. I really do. Like, how many people actually fell for it and said, hey, we need to cross the state border and go that way to start buying our stuff. So I really wonder how much of it hit the toilet.
Well,
probably a bunch.
way, all your local dealers were seeing an increase in sales and saying, my goodness, thank you, the PDs, for doing that. I just got a lot of increase.
Yeah, all the meth dealers are saying, hey, good deal. And once again, a woman presented her dumbass and her meth to the police department and wanted to check to see if it had the virus. I'll just be damned. The dope was fine, but she wasn't. Booked for possession of a controlled substance and public stupidity. Her booking photo shows her, get this, smiling. Chalk one up for the cops. Let's see who can come up with another flim-flam to get some bubblehead to bite. Maybe convicted felons to bring their automatic weapons in for a safety check. It could happen. Props to the Granite Shoals Police Department. Stay safe, buckle up, and wear your vest. That gal, she was a blonde chick, and she was wearing a blue dress or blue shirt or something. And her booking photo, she is just beaming. I'm going, boy, you are one dumb.
Yeah, she's definitely a French fries Happy Meal.
Yeah, I commented on that. Like, how did they get that booking photo? Hey, why don't you take a picture and show everybody that you did the right thing? Because how do you get a booking photo that looks like that, really? From somebody who knows she's fixing to go to jail. I guarantee you that they really pulled the wool over her eyes and was like, oh, my God, congratulations, your dope is fine. Take a picture. We're going to release it and say, people are coming forward and getting their stuff checked out. Take a picture, and she's all grinning like she just won a prize, you know?
Probably.
I guarantee you that she did not know she was being booked at that moment.
I think you're probably right. Here, why don't you come on over here? Cindy Hobson, I think, is her name. And they said, come on, Cindy, here, we just want to get your picture and put it out there so that everybody knows that you did the right thing and you're – Yeah, I bet you're right, Amanda. You probably fell for that hook, line, and sinker.
Yeah, you're a role model now for children. Take a picture.
Jesus.
Something similar to that some years ago. They ran a sting operation and where they had so many outstanding warrants that they had to clean up, but they just didn't have the resources to go out and affect these warrants. So what they did was, and it was really ingenious, they made up these official flyers or postcards saying that you've won a grand prize, this, that, and the other. I mean, it looked all official, like something you get out of Publisher's Clearinghouse. And cost was minimal to the department, and they mailed them out to every person that was on their warrant list. And they set up a thing at a local hotel in a ballroom, had prize banners and the whole thing, and they had, you know, big widescreen TVs in there saying you want a TV. These idiots were walking in, present their card, and they would stand there and say, oh, yeah, you won a prize, and they'd stand there and take pictures with them. They didn't even know they were police officers, you know, holding their congratulations card, you just won, and then all of a sudden, here come the cuffs.
click.
Other warrants are...
And the funny thing about that is you know, the card is addressed to Willie Jones or something like that. I say, are you sure you're the guy on this card? We don't want to give this out to anybody. Yeah, man, that's me. So, well, you got some ID that we can verify it? Yeah, here's my driver's license. Here's my inmate card. You know, and all right, here, right through that door.
Exactly. And then they were escorted out the back and just piled up in a bus.
I bet there weren't any smiling faces at those mug photos.
Be the last time they respond to anything that resembles Publisher's Clearinghouse, that's for sure.
A lot of those people actually still, if you watch some of that, they had videos. Some of those people still thought they were getting the prize. I think it was like TVs, and they all were still smiling when the police came in. They still thought they were winners.
It's ridiculous.
Okay, I'm going to get locked up for a little while, but at least I got a big 54-inch high-def TV.
You know, somebody sends me a card in the mail, I mean, hey, come on. You're not just going to win something, especially if I haven't entered anything. Come on.
Well, you and I would, pal.
Well, you and I would be able to, but, you know, because there's nothing, you know, going against us, but your average criminal, how stupid could you be knowing there's possibly something outstanding out on you? Come on.
stupid enough to go to the police department and turn in some dope because it might have Ebola in virus.
I think we're going to be laughing about that one for quite some time. That's just a beauty. Oh
yeah.
Lord, what a
you know what I love? I love that police departments are so creative. I love this. You know, the guys are sitting around the coffee room in the mornings like, what can we do to get these fucking morons in here today? I love it. And they come up with these Ebola in your mess. I love it. I love it.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see the next one.
That's a good deal.
Police? Now, you want to talk about positive policing. I mean, nobody's hurt. They voluntarily come in.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh,
nobody's
Jesus.
Right?
Everybody,
perfect.
You know, self in.
Yeah, Amanda's probably right because when they took her mugshot, they probably said, come on, we just want to get a photograph of you so we can put it out and show that everybody, you know, this woman
I
was
swear
safe.
To God,
Ebola
they
virus.
Told her she's a role model. She's a role model. They're going to put her picture on the news so everybody can see her and say, look, this woman did the right thing. I guarantee you, she's all like, I'm going to be on the news. You know,
yeah,
grin.
I bet you that.
Snap.
Girl even asked for some extra 8x10 glossies to send to her family.
So awesome.
Yeah, sure, honey. We'll give you all kinds.
We'll give you extras. Do you want them with your ID number on the bottom or without?
So see, you might have to Photoshop the mugboard chain around your neck. You know, oh, God, what an idiot. Yeah, we're going to be laughing about that one for a long time. This just might be an inspiration for police departments to do something, and they will probably come up with something just as ingenious, if not a tad more. Let's give it a minute and see what happens next week. I'm thinking it's going to be something pretty good, so we can all hope.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, this was epic, and hopefully it inspires a lot more conversation in the coffee room with the cops. Hopefully, you know, I know that I'm just going to say around here locally, they arrested somebody in another town and took their cell phone and started texting people and was like, hey, meet me such and such for some dope. I need to buy some, or I have some for you. And these people showed up. This just happened in the town neighboring mine. And these people
happened right out there at the High Banks track.
Yep, absolutely, yes. And one of them was actually my child's pediatric nurse, which is why I was floored when I saw that story. I was like, what?
Really?
But yeah, she fell for it. She said I'm on my way to a parent teacher conference, so you got to hurry up.
Yeah, you got to give me my message so I can go talk to my teacher.
Absolutely, and she fell for it and was arrested.
Yeah, cops can get pretty creative, and that's a good one. You know, and they're also using these knuckleheads' email, or Facebook, rather. You know, and they'll just kill somebody or, you know, knock off a dope hole or something, and they're standing there with their pistols and the spread of the money and all that stuff and talking about it, bragging about it. You know, that stuff can be used in court and everything.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
One of the guys, this brings up another humorous story, humorous or sad, depending upon, or not sad, just kind of goofy. In Michael Brown Jr. Didn't Have to Die, you knew it had to happen. Two coppers got shot. It was late in the evening, and there'd been some fights and stuff among the demonstrators, the peaceful protesters, and the cops went in and broke it up and says, look, why don't you go home? Just come back tomorrow, and you can continue showing your ass, but just go home for tonight. And so some guys were up on top of this little hill, and he fires a couple of rounds down at the cops, and one goes through a guy's face mask. He had his face mask down, you know, his riot helmet, went through there and down into his came out his lower jaw or something. Another guy got hit on the side of his and missed the vest and stuff and went into his arm and came out in his lower back. And so they put it together, and through a snitch who was plugged into the black crime, they cleaned it up, and the guy got locked up with a $250,000 cash only bail. And in the jail, it says telephone conversations are recorded and may be used as in court and are accessible with a Freedom of Information Act request. And so this knucklehead, he's talking to his girlfriend, I mean his baby mama, and he's saying, man, I know I should have went home. I didn't mean to shoot that police. And he says, I just should have went home. I was just shooting. Then one of the newspapers or TV stations got it and put it out, and his attorney was livid. You can't do that. Well, here's the sign and everything. And I end the chapter with, everybody has the right to remain silent. There are those of us that walk among us who don't have the ability to remain silent. And silly bastard. I know he was crying the blues to his baby mom about, man, I'm going to be doing 10 years for this shit. Well, at a minimum, you're going to be doing that. But they never let you down. These criminals are just ignorant bastards, every damn one of them.
Here, meet your new roommate, Mongo.
Yeah. Enjoy the body cavity searches.
Yeah. Just bend over and say, aw. You know, one thing I am going to mention on a more serious note, and I do want to mention it only because of the importance of it, is the fact that we lost a canine officer yesterday, and we've lost 10 so far this year, canine dogs, and now it's actually up to 11. Canine Officer Nikki was killed in the line of duty yesterday. He was shot. What makes this story more of a topic than the others, not that they're not any less important, but Nikki had survived a multiple stabbing previous to this, protecting his partner. And it took him months of rehab and everything else. Then the dog was put back into service and protecting his handler again with a murder suspect, ended up getting shot multiple times.
You know what, David, I've followed that story. I think Randy Sutton talks about it in his posts and that. And that's the dog that got whacked around but with a machete or something, wasn't it?
Exactly.
And made
the Las Vegas Metro PD.
Right, yeah. And I thought he got, chopped up with a machete.
Yeah, it was horrendous what the dog went through and managed to survive.
Yep.
What, injuries that you and I probably would have keeled over. And this dog managed to survive all that only to protect his handler again and the community, and ended up getting shot and killed.
You know, I saw that this morning, I want to say, and I didn't know that there was a how he got killed, and I was wondering if it was some residual effects of the knife attack or whatever it was.
It was a murder suspect.
Apprehend a murder suspect, huh?
Yeah, the suspect opened fire on the dog, and it's not that the dog made contact. It's not like he got the dog in mid stride. The dog made contact. I mean, he did his job. He went down as a warrior. There's no doubt. I mean, you would think a dog that went through such trauma would be a little bit apprehensive of trying to engage, but this dog did not.
Well, I tell you, those are some animals, the police dogs and the training and the heart that they have. Tell me the guy that shot the dog is...
He's no longer with us.
Oh, God. So senseless. Another life taken too young.
He's holding on, but, you know, it's... I don't expect...
Really?
Yeah, I don't expect a positive outcome.
Well, couldn't somebody go in there and pinch his medication tube or whatever the hell it is, whatever they...
Yeah.
Listen,
I didn't know that got unplugged.
Oh, God damn. You know, maybe they could... I know what. We could do some dog therapy with him, and the dog could go in there and give him a hug.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, man. Well, that's too bad. You know, I remember seeing the one where the dog was whittled up, and I remember on his nose he had a big old whack there. And
oh, yeah, he was scarred up.
I thought, great, you know, to have the dog come back. And, you know, sometimes that just happens, and it's a shame. But, you know, he died a warrior, like you said. He'll get a good send-off. And can you imagine the handler,
this
poor bastard, he's going through.
Yeah, he felt it the first time, and then, you know, some sense of relief comes across him that his partners aren't going to survive. And then he's back in a patrol unit with his partner again. And here he ended up losing him.
Yeah, that's a tough one. And
it's just 2 months after surviving.
Yeah, that's
only 2 months had gone by. So, you know, that's still fresh in the mind.
Yes.
And can you imagine, you know, it had to be fresh in the mind of the dog, but the dog put that fear aside and still did its job.
I'll tell you what, I don't think those dogs have any fear. They just have, they're focused and steady and aggressive and all the things that they should be. Man, too bad. And
yeah, lost a good animal. And it's a shame, you know, we've lost a lot of officers, you know, since the beginning of the year. And, you know, the numbers are growing exponentially, and it's a shame, and it's got to stop. But, you know, when you take all those and then you add your canine losses on top of it, you're talking, you know, at the last statistics was 10. Now he makes 11. He makes the 11th canine line of duty death.
Well, I was just looking at the police officer down Memorial for before the show. Police officer deaths by firearms are up 150%.
Yeah.
And the deaths are down like just 3%. And I'm afraid that those numbers are going to get skewed here in the not too distant future. Everybody, you can't turn on the TV or in my case, go to, you know, a lot of police sites that I belong to or follow and not see, you know, 5-6 cops at the minimum getting shot on a weekly basis, sometimes 2 and 3 a day. I'm going, good Lord.
When you break it down in perspective. Yeah, it's very high. I mean, like if you take the canine deaths, okay, with 11 deaths now, okay. Now, out of all, if you put it in categories, one, they had one canine that was asphyxiated on purpose, was murdered that way. One was drowned. We lost him in a drowning going after a suspect. And,
yeah, I remember that one too. Yeah, that was fairly recent, wasn't it?
Yeah. The handler almost drowned as well, but but the dog lost his life. Five of them have been lost to gunfire. One of them was stabbed to death, which was Officer Aaron in Pittsburgh. And then 3 of them were purposely struck by a vehicle. That's 11 canine line of duty deaths. You know, when you think about that, even that one that was asphyxiated, was strangled to death. I mean, come on.
I hope
I mean,
they left on these bastards.
Yeah, it's just, I just can't wrap my mind around some of this shit. It's just mind-boggling.
Okay, guys, we're...
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Amanda. Are we out of time?
Yeah, we're out of time, and I have a couple things I have to do right now, so I'm going to have to shut down. Thank you guys for calling in. We'll actually just continue this discussion. I think I know what you were going to ask, Ken. Don't forget your question, and we'll ask it next time. Okay?
Okay,
okay.
Very good. Bye, everybody. See you next week. Take care.
Bye.
Stay
Thank
safe.
You, guys.
Hey,
have a happy April Fool's Day.
Hey.
Bye. Yeah.
Remember, check your map.
Yes. Be safe, everyone.